And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
It was 1776 when the founders signed the writ of independence from the Brits. It was revolution. Now an enemy from within would enslave us all again and deprive us of our rights in the Constitution. Restore the Republic. Wake up, it's time to understand. Restore the Republic. We're losing our freedom in the land. Working from behind the scenes, controlling everything, from the daily news we read to the politicians. And they're pulling our financial strings, more powerful than kings. If the central bank elite bringing our destruction. Restore the Republic. Wake up, it's time to make a stand. Restore the Republic. We are the people and we can. Restore the Republic. Pledge our allegiance to the flag. Restore the Republic. We gotta take the freedom back. America, arise. It's time to open up our eyes and march back down the road to freedom. If we look the other way, they'll take our rights away. So we the people must seek freedom. Restore the Republic. Shoving taxes down our throats, bailing out banks we don't even owe. It's a ruination. They're invading our privacy with high technology, microchip in our ID. It's abomination. Restore the Republic. Wake up, it's time to make a stand. Restore the Republic. Spread the news across the land. Restore the Republic. Pledge our allegiance to the flag. Restore the Republic. It's time to take our freedom back. It's time to take our freedom back. It's time to take our freedom back.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jim Fitzgerald. I'll be guest hosting for Robert Zuluaga, who's off on a retreat this week and weekend. So thank you for joining us for the roundtable call for this date. Janine?
Yes,
Jim. We have someone to open up the call in a word of prayer.
Yes, Bruce Dietler from Kansas.
Well, good evening, America, and praise the Lord. Father, we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the opportunity to gather together in that precious name. Father, we thank you for our brothers and sisters who have assembled themselves, Lord, who have a heart to restore your republic. Father, we thank you for the gift that has been given to us and the opportunity before us, Lord. We pray for your heart, your direction in our lives and in this republic. Father, we choose to humble ourselves beneath your mighty hand that you might exalt us in due time. Father, that you might restore the liberty, the prosperity, the health of your people, spiritually, physically, financially, and in every way, shape, and form. Father, glorify yourself in and through our lives. Continue to direct us Father, keep your hand of protection upon our leadership, guide and direct them by the Holy Ghost, and have your will in your way. Glorify yourself through our efforts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Bruce. Very much appreciate it. Janine, I really like that song. It's like somebody listens in to all of our calls and writes a song about what.
And they did. And the good thing about it is it was not copyrighted. They have right on their website that they want everyone to share this song with as many people as possible.
That's awesome. We'll have to have them when we have a get together with all the folks. Invite them to open it up with that. That's awesome.
That is awesome.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, tonight it looks like we're going to talk about health, wellness, science, the committees in the House and Senate and the Congress, and then the executive branch. Looks like we have quite a few guests tonight from the House of Representatives. From Daniel Hutchins from California is the chair of the House Health and Science Technology Committee. And from the Senate side, Dr. Daniel Reed from Louisiana, chair of the Senate Health, Wellness, and Aging Committee, and also Senator Dr. Patrick Hatwin from Nebraska, co-chair of the Senate Health, Wellness, and Aging Committee, and from the Executive Branch Cabinet, Dr. Rutledge, Secretary of Health and Human Services. So the call to action tonight, many people are doing many great things in your respective republics, and so we want to hear from you. Please send us stories of things and that we can contact or get you to be on this roundtable call and let us know what's going on in your state and your republic. So with that, I'd like to welcome our guests and start with Representative Daniel Hutchins from California. Are you with us, Mr. Hutchins?
May have muted himself. Let me check here, Jim.
There we go.
There we go.
Yes, I'm here. And can you take me out of order, please? Can I go third in line?
He's still driving, Jim.
Oh, absolutely. Keep both hands on the wheel. That's we don't want somebody in the health department getting in an accident because he's talking about health and wellness. So,
thank you. And I did pull over.
Okay. All right, no problem. Let's move to the Senate side. How about Dr. Daniel Reed from Louisiana? Are you with us?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. And tell us what's going on in the Senate on your committee.
Yes, welcome everyone. Honored that the fellow would have us on the call. Lots of exciting things that we have been discussing over a year plus in our committee. Myself, I when I heard about the Republic, the main reason I joined so I could have a say-so in healthcare because I'm a upper cervical chiropractor, and I've seen hundreds of cases clinically coming into my office, and they told me that they went through the medical model and they've just been getting sicker and sicker and sicker. And so seeing this clinically, I have a passion for that, and it's one of the main purposes that I joined the Republic. And Senator Geiger asked me to chair this committee, and honored to do so. And so what I've been seeing is most people spend half their life losing their health, and the other half is trying to get it back. And people are just getting sicker and sicker and sicker, mainly because the allopathic model that is currently in use is not working. And we need to re-educate the public on how the body works, for one, and the good nutrients and things that we need to do to put into it. Most people know more about the car than their body. Like one of our guest speakers on our Health and Wellness and Aging Committee said that we're misled and misfed, you know, for the past 100 years, dealing with all this chronic diseases on the rise and whatnot, and it's only getting worse. The doctors aren't being told the truth, and in turn, they're not telling the patients the truth about what's really going on out there in the world and what they've done to, like I said, our food. And you know, we need to focus on nutrients and real food and eliminating toxins, and you know, to re-educate, you know, the public on basic things that we can change in order to basically get our health back. So we've been discussing different things, with, such as research-based places that people could come, you know, healing centers in order to get their health back, basically not really focusing on, you know, rebuilding the current healthcare system, because it's just broken beyond repair. But at this time, I would also like to let Senator Hatwan, who is very knowledgeable, he's a naturopathic doctor from Nebraska, and he has brought many exciting guest speakers onto our call, who he on a regular basis consults and talks with around the world. And at this time, I would like to yield the floor to Senator Hatwan and let him continue this talk about health. Senator Hatwan, are you with us?
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Reed. Yes, I am. Can you hear me okay?
You sound good.
Great. Welcome, everybody, to the call, and I'm pleased and honored to be part of this call this evening. Thank you for the invitation, Senator Reed, and those involved in bringing this forward tonight. I'd like to piggyback just a little bit on some of the things that Dr. Reed talked about, and specifically, one of the things that got me invested in Republic is, as a practicing naturopath, I have a large degree of difficulty with the government owning some words such as treat, cure, prevent, mitigate, and heal. I think those words are part of our English language and part of our heritage as a culture and as a nation. And to further that, one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, Dr. Benjamin Rush, made this comment. He said, "The Constitution of this Republic should make special provisions for medical freedom as well as religious freedom. To restrict the act and the art of healing to one class of men and deny equal privileges to others will constitute the Bastille of medical science. All such laws are un-American, and they're despotic." And I agree with that implicitly. I've been very fortunate to be involved in this committee, and part of my privilege has been able to be exposed to some people around the world that are involved in healthcare, some at the in the natural healing arts and some from the allopathic side. And every once in a while, we peel some of those people out of the flock. One of those individuals is Dr. Andrew Molden from Canada, who should have been seated in the chair of Health Canada, save for the fact that he said vaccines are slaughtering our children. Another individual, the former CEO of Eli Lilly Sweden, Dr. John Virapin, the individual that was responsible for bribing the Swedish government to get Prozac approved in 91. We all know that Prozac is an SSRI, but its first patent application was for a weight loss medication. And he's out telling on the pharmaceutical industry. Dr. Mark Serkis, who's an Oriental medical practitioner from Brazil, would practice in the United States, except the FDA wouldn't allow him back in the nation. So because of those associations, I've been able to get those and other people, such as Dr. Suzanne Humphreys, on the conference calls for the Senate Health and Wellness, Wellness and Aging Committee, along with Marcella Piper Terry and others. And essentially what we're doing is we're laying groundwork and foundation for information that will be beneficial to the Republic when we begin to be in position to help the public understand what it is they can do for health and wellness and take it on as a personal responsibility instead of seeing healthcare as a right. I'm very pleased to tell you that If we don't have any time for our health today, we will have no health for our time tomorrow. And that basically points up the fact that if we understand what we're eating and how our world around us is toxic and how it affects our health, we can take personal actions then that will help restore our health. And I think that's something that the Republic needs to look at. And it's part of our committee's assignment, I believe. In that vein, I would say that for those of us that, and I was guilty myself of believing that the food pyramid is a healthy way to eat, when in fact the food pyramid is nothing more than the United States Department of Agriculture's method to make sure that subsidized agricultural products are sold, and they're sold in large quantities, and essentially it keeps the industrialized agriculture alive. And it's a very dangerous segment of our food chain. I like to say that the technology that's been pounded into the agricultural industry has far outstripped the ability of our DNA to recognize the stuff that we call foods in the grocery store. So I'm very pleased to be a part of this committee, and I think we have a lot of work to do. We have more people to contact and more committee hearings to have. But essentially, when we get all done with this, we'll have transcripts available, and they will be presented to the Senate as a body as a whole so that we can review those and then present those to the House, and then the House and Senate can move forward with legislation or regulation that might be necessary as a beneficial side to what we're doing. And I'll yield the floor momentarily.
Thank you so much, Dr. Hatwin. As I hear you speak, from a little bit of history on health, just personally, that I notice, and when you, I think of a grocery store, and when I was a younger man, I lived 6 days a week in a gym, and competed and stuff like that, and in those days, for probably about 30 years or so, I was in really good health, and felt like I ate perfectly. And when people would ask me, what do you do, and I said, it's really quite simple. There's only about two aisles you can go into in the grocery store to be healthy, only two. And if you stay out of all the rest of them, you'll be fine. And so when you're an athlete, whether you're a runner, a swimmer, or whatever, if any of them ever experiment with food and try and see how it affects your athletic performance, probably without exception, most athletes only shop in two aisles of the grocery store. And one's called produce, and one's, over there where there's meat and things like some meats and things like that. And you even got to be careful of those. But the rest of the grocery store, if there's a 10,000 square foot grocery store, you only need to shop in about 1,000 square feet of it.
That's right. It's interesting that when we go into the grocery store, in fact, I asked a manager of one of the local larger chains here in Lincoln a couple of weeks ago, if there's a health food section in the grocery store, what's the rest of this joint called?
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
You know, you mentioned the issue of athletes, and one of the things that we mistakenly do, I think, across the nation, and it's very, very innocent, but we think that the absence of symptoms is the presence of health. And today we see athletes all over the place. They're dropping over dead on the basketball floors or the football fields, and the medical community seems not to have an answer. But essentially what it is, and this is from my perspective, it's called SIDS, silent inflammatory death. We have inflammatory conditions in the cardiovascular system that are unrecognized, and they could come not only from physical exertion, but also from improper oils. For example, canola and Wesson and mazola, the various vegetable oils that really disrupt the omega-3 fatty acids in the body. And this goes back to something that I think is something that the committee looks at, is how do we educate the public about a healthy diet and what really is a healthy diet. I'd like to add also, for example, regarding the food pyramid and a healthy diet. One of the things that I do with people when I work with them in issues of health and diet is I indicate how critical the diet is to the body. And by way of analogy, the Inuit Eskimo cannot consume the diet of the Pima Indian. It's very deadly to them. The Inuit has only ever genetically, ancestrally lived on and subsisted on animal fats and proteins, and to introduce carbohydrates to their body is deadly. They have never, ever genetically experienced carbohydrates. And so the food pyramid, and then the oils and the fats and the proteins and the starches and the carbohydrates, we begin to see how complex and how intricate those DNA and food items, proteins, are recognized by the body as nutritional support.
Very, very much true. And you can see too, as I've experimented with it in different times with either like a Dr. Atkins thing, or another one at the time was years ago, I think it was called Fit for Life, where you just didn't mix carbohydrates and proteins in the same meal. I mean, complex carbohydrates. And the interesting thing is both, you know, low carbohydrate or all carbohydrate, I mean, just take one of the two food groups out and you lose weight. But sometimes not healthily, but, you know, so there is much to learn. And
right.
It's already there. What strikes me is lawmakers or whatever, I think it was said earlier, as far as what lawmakers can do is not subsidize certain things or let free enterprise and let, you know, scientists tell the truth and not, I mean, it's almost like, you know, I know the bankers and so forth, we talk of them referring to the people as chattel. Well, you know, getting back to the grocery store, and you think of how a great big dairy farm or a ranch works, where they have aisles and they throw the feed or the corn and the cows walk to the edge and eat what's given to them. Well, they kind of do the same thing to us. Our feed trough is a grocery store, and they throw all this stuff and these cereals in, and we go and eat it. But we're supposed to be a little smarter than that, and we are capable. So education, whatever we can do, but one is future lawmakers. My goodness, you know, the vaccines that were mentioned, some of the things are so nefarious in intent to harm us on purpose for the purpose of making money. I always think back years ago that I think it was one of the Rockefellers ate very healthily, and he was asked about pharmaceuticals, and he just offhandedly said, oh, that's just for making money. I don't know.
Right. Well, you made a good point about how the diet is important. One of the things that we look at for obesity issues and people that want to lose weight, and they step on the scale and they get involved with this particular weight loss, and I'll call it, for lack of a better term, a fad weight loss program. And they begin to look at weight loss, and so they step on the scale every day, and there's three types of tissue in the body. One is fat, one is muscle, the other one's bone. Bone is the heaviest, and if you regain bone strength because you begin to exercise and you begin to build muscle mass, you put on weight while you're losing fat, and you may in fact think that you're going in reverse of the actual intent of your weight loss program. And so it's very critical that people understand that fat loss is not equal to weight loss, especially if you're putting on bone and muscle tissue.
Well, you know, when you say that too, I've run across that in the bodybuilding world years ago, but in pick on women a little bit, they were always worried about putting on too much muscle and so forth. But I would also temper that with knowing that barring steroids, which do work as far as putting on muscle tissue, but barring that, if you eat perfectly and work out a bodybuilder's type regime where you're going to intentionally and want to put on muscle mass, it is almost physiologically impossible to gain more than about 6 to 8 pounds of muscle tissue in a year. In a year. So when women worry, oh, I don't want to, I'm getting too muscular. Well, they're worrying a little bit too much, you know, because if you work out perfectly and intensely and break those muscle tissues down so that they'll grow, you know, if you said 6 pounds a year, that's, you know, that's 2 pounds every quarter. So there is a, you're absolutely right, but not to worry. It's a lot of work. Just going in and doing the motions in the gym is not going to put on six to eight pounds of muscle tissue in a year.
Correct. But, you know, and another thing that's important to remember too is that when you exercise and build your muscle strength, you're also building bone strength. But if you don't have proper nutritional balances, your bone strength can also become a hindrance because your bones may not strengthen properly. And so regarding the issue of health and education, it's critical that people that are professional athletes, they want to be bodybuilders, that they understand that bone health is more critical than physiological health regarding diet. Because if they don't understand how that diet can impart proper bone health, they can have complications down the line. And it doesn't show up until they get into 40s and 50s. And then another point I'd like to make is, we hear a lot from the medical industry that we have something called age-related degeneration. And I would like to point out to the people listening tonight that that is an absolute misnomer. It is one of the most dangerous and fallacious thoughts that we could ever assume to be correct. Because if age-related degeneration exists, I have to ask the question, why are babies and children dying of the same thing that senior citizens and old people die from, i.e. age-related degeneration? And so we need to look long and hard and ask very pressing questions from the medical professionals. Why is this happening?
Very, very good.
If I could, Senator Hatwan, I would like you to touch on the fact that America is drowning in a sea of toxic meds, as well as the key to real health is repletion of our minerals, which work synergistically with vitamins, because they're pretty much useless without minerals. Could you touch on
those? Absolutely. Absolutely. What a valid point, Senator Reed. If we understand that there's three elements that are absolutely essential for life. Number one is air, and number two is water. And those are interchangeable. Let's say, for example, you're out in the Sahara Desert, and you haven't had water for several days. It looks like it's number one. But if you're about to drown, water looks like it, or air looks like it's number one. The third most required element for support of life is magnesium. Absent magnesium, and I like to tie this in with the fact that we have two kinds of diseases today. We have a disease of affluence, and we have a disease of poverty. And in our nation, we have diseases of affluence, and it's because we're not eating correctly and at the heart of almost all chronic and degenerative disease is a magnesium deficiency. And for anybody that's interested in studying about that, Dr. Carolyn Dean or Dr. Mark Circus, S-I-R-C-U-S, both of those people write prolifically on the issue of magnesium. And when I work with people, my foundational elements are good air, good water, proper nutrition, proper sleep, proper elimination, and a healthy spiritual connection. I call it my biopsychosocial spiritual model of health. And to get your feet on the ground, bare feet on the ground, when we build a house, we put an electrical service in and we put a ground rod out in to discharge the static electricity. Because we have shoes on our feet, carpet, wood floors, tile floors, concrete, and asphalt, we never get our bare feet on the ground, and we never discharge the electrical static buildup in our bodies. And that's an absolute must. And then sunlight. It's absolutely essential that we have sunlight exposure to our bodies. And in our culture, we seem to think that we need sunblockers so that we don't get sunburns. Essentially, that's deadly. The sun should be at the low side in the evening and in the morning when we get 20 to 30 minutes exposure. And that's where we get the most beneficial vitamin D production. And vitamin D is actually a hormone, by the way. It's not necessarily a vitamin, but it can also be toxic too if we get too much. So when we look at minerals, I also look at iodine, I look at baking soda, I look at selenium, various of the other minor minerals, but those are the essentials that are basically missing in most diets today.
And can you touch on how stress affects magnesium and magnesium affects stress, since we in the Republic are exposed to tons of stress and the importance of magnesium as it relates to stress?
Well, that's a big issue, Senator Reed. And when we see stress, and let's just talk about internal, emotional, or tension-type stress, all stress will raise cortisol levels in the body. And cortisol is a hugely depleting chemistry, biochemical action, and it will strip the body because magnesium is instantly called for. Every muscle in the body contracts. And when it contracts, it has to relax. And magnesium is the mineral that does that. And cortisol is a depleter of magnesium. I might also tie into the fact that most of us are extremely heavy in sugar consumption. And that is one of the most deadly and toxic chemicals. It also, in fact, it depletes adrenal function. And when we have that going on, we see an issue of enzymes. We see an issue of insulin. And if insulin's out of whack, every hormone in the body's out of whack because insulin is tied to magnesium, which is tied to insulin. They both require each other to function for the energy production cycles in the body. So when cortisol is up, all hormones are distressed and out of balance, and insulin's implicated in all that. And when that happens, we're depleted in magnesium. So that's a very good question, Senator Reed.
Yeah, because on our committee talks, we talk in depth about magnesium and how everyone in Republic is exposed to lots of stress and how it affects our decision making and thinking. Can you elaborate on that as well?
Yes, another good point.
Rigid thinking, indecision, and rigid thinking.
Absolutely. At the heart of almost all neurological dysfunction, and let's talk about just a simple one that we can all identify with, is depression. Depression can be lifted with water and magnesium. And when we see the issue of how, for example, we hear a lot from the medical community about cholesterol, high cholesterol. If we're magnesium deficient, we're not synthesizing cholesterol, and cholesterol is at the heart of all our steroid hormone productions. Okay, so if we're not producing steroid hormones, we're essentially emotionally and spiritually out of balance. And in addition to that, if the B vitamins are not being synthesized, it's probably because we're deficient in magnesium. So there's that ties then into heart health as well. We see a lot of heart issues being tied to vitamin B and B12 deficiencies. B12 deficiency for mental health as well, and that's because we're deficient in magnesium. Very, very critical mineral and so essential. Magnesium is responsible for over, and Dr. Mark Serkis says 350 enzyme actions. I say it's probably on the magnitude of 3,000 enzyme reactions in the body.
Can I ask, you're clearly, you guys are, you know, way heavy into the science of health and the minerals and all of the subcategories. For people generally, and I've gotten into it in my past too, but there's, if you walk into any of the health food stores in our country, or I have a nice grocery store called Sprouts that's supposed to be mostly healthy, and then a whole section of it is cod oil, all the good stuff, and just a gazillion bottles of pills of vitamins, minerals, oils, this and that. And part of what we're, as a society or a culture, I mean, people are more conscious, and there has been a health awakening in a good way you know, all the running and the marathons and the so many activities that go on in our country is good, right next to the most obesity. And when you start thinking about your health, there's so much good marketing on this pill and that pill.
Mm-hmm.
And but would it not be a true statement to get back to most of everything you're talking about, or most of, you know, the magnesium, the vitamin B, most of this can come from those two aisles in the grocery store. Now, if that's true and you eat healthy and try and again, it's apparently understood that eating five or six times a day, smaller meals, is better than eating three, which is culturally what we've done for the last couple hundred years. But if what would you recommend? I'm guessing I would hear that you would agree, eat all of those vegetables, particularly vegetables and green and the dark berries and some good salmons and the good fish and all of that stuff. But then supplement it with what? How do you get the balance of not living with 42 bottles of capsules on your kitchen counter?
Right, right. What a wonderful statement that is. I like to tell people when I'm out on the speaking circuit that I can take a dead cat by the tail and swing it for 3 or 4 hours in the supplement aisles of the health food stores, and whatever remains is still junk. Okay?
Okay.
And I like to catch your attention there. Essentially, most of the stuff in the health food store is not safe to consume because it is synthesized. Okay, we can look at, for example, the iodine is probably safe, and magnesium, I have one form of magnesium that I like. It's magnesium chloride. That's a liquid. Another one that might be acceptable is magnesium glycinate. But you're right. To a certain degree, what we have to have in our bodies comes out of the produce section in the grocery store.
Which are void of minerals? Would you say?
Well,
in
large part, and I'm going to go to this issue, and you're very accurate in that question, Senator Reed. If it comes from industrialized agriculture, it is not fit to eat. Document number 264, delivered to the 37th session of the United States Senate, I believe in 1937, clearly states that what is in the grocery stores in those years should not even be called food because it is so denatured. Now, we've had industrialized agriculture since 1937. I don't think the quality of the soils have improved. So, Senator Reed, you're absolutely right. The foods are denatured. It is an absolute must that we supplement. And so the question previous to that was, what is good for supplementation? You must have a good multivitamin mineral supplement that is plant sourced. Anything else is synthetic, and anything else is not really worth much. And that's from experience more than anything else. The issue of how many meals to eat a day, we should be very careful not to get an insulin spike within. We have a 70-minute window to eat a meal. That's everything. Main course and dessert. If we eat at 90 minutes, we spike the insulin again, and we get inflammatory conditions, and now we lay down plaque in the arteries. It's not safe to eat within probably 60 to 90 minutes of when we eat our last bite at each meal. So the concept of 6 meals a day, if we can spread that out over 18 to 24 hours, that would be right. But I don't think most of us, we probably need 8 to 10 hours of sleep, 6 minimum. And so it's hard to get 6 meals in a day, or even 5. So our issue is we can eat plant-sourced materials. We should also supplement with a good, healthy vitamin. I will tell you, and I'm going to use names, for example, Centrum and One A Day and Flintstones, all those vitamins are synthetic. The pharmaceutical industry is the original manufacturer of vitamins, and the original processes were to fraction off, isolate, synthesize, and convert oil products and dirt products into vitamins and minerals. and the body does not recognize synthetics. So if anybody's interested in vitamin and mineral supplementation, it has to be plant-sourced.
Well, I remember
that pretty much eliminates everything in the health food store.
Is it? I know years ago that Amway used to, Nutrilite was purported to be all plant source. Is that? I mean, I haven't looked at that in over 25 years, but are they still doing a good job with their products? Or who is a good? If you were to name names, who's a good company?
Well, that's a nice question. I have how to evaluate vitamin and mineral products. It's from ProAvity, and they're out of the University of Miami. And they have a list of items, but they call it second-generation supplements, and that's what you would look for from whole food extracts. And I see, for example, that there's a
You have a website?
No, this is actually it's a periodical, and I'm trying to see here. There's one that's called Life Pack Nano. That's by Pharmanex, and it shows that there's standardized vitamins with labeled ingredients and standardized minerals with labeled ingredients, and that's not a very good source of nutritional support. USANA does the same thing. Life Miracle, Liquid 5, seems to be all natural, and it's standardized. But there's one here that's called Phytomatrix. It is it checks off in all five categories that are essential for what you look for. Then there's another one by Standard Process. There's only three items that qualify there. One here that I do see, it's called Ultramag Green by GNC. And that's a pretty good vitamin the way it looks.
Is what the periodical you're reading, is that something that could be posted on a Senate or the website, or that people could I'm sure a lot of people would really be interested in knowing that and to evaluate good supplemental sources.
I would have to get authorization. It looks like there's unauthorized reproduction is prohibited. It's by ProEvity. I think we could probably find some way to get a hold of the people to get permission to do that. I'll make a note, and we'll see if we can follow up with that.
ProEvity, ProEvity.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that's not a good thing for the government to get into the, marketing somebody else's stuff. But, boy, the people sure are interested in health.
Right.
And I don't know how we get the word out.
Well, there's a couple things that we can do. And if it's acceptable, they can get in contact with myself. There's other people in Republic that can do the same thing. But, I'm always more than happy to help people find a direction or find a way out of their dilemma. I would say that I'm going to have Dr. Norman Marvin, who's a regent at Oxford Medical School, come to Lincoln, Nebraska to give a presentation Friday night. And he's peeled out of the flock. He has had 55 years in medical practice, and he said in the last 3 years, he's learned more about natural health and knows more about how to maintain the body's health than he ever learned in his entire 55 years of medical practice. He taught at KU and he taught at Oral Roberts. And to have a regent from Oxford Medical School in Lincoln, Nebraska is really, really an honor. And, he will be the first to tell you that we have to be very careful with how we think we're being told information that is correct. He says 55 years in medicine and 3 years on the natural side. He's done a complete 180.
Well, that's great. I hope that somehow that it would be all of that knowledge. I mean, I know it's all out there. There's so much about health out there in every bookstore and so forth. But there's so much of it. It's like going down the cereal aisle, and it's all, like you said, swing a cat around or something. It's all crap, and so you don't know what to believe. And you, just like everything, we're so busy with our lives. It'd be great if you wanted to focus just on that. But there's so much more that we're doing. So anyway, it sounds like you guys are talking about some really good stuff there. Why don't I ask, is Representative Hutchins in a position where he can join us?
Yes,
Jim,
I am.
Can you hear me?
Jim, can I make one more quick point?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was on the mineral that we've been talking about, magnesium. It was discovered, I think, in the 40s by either Rothschild or Rockefeller University, and they didn't want anybody to know about this because the fluoride that they put in all the medications bind up all the magnesium, and magnesium is all chronic diseases, including cancer, is caused by inflammation, and all inflammation is triggered by magnesium deficiency. So they know very well what they are doing, and it's done deliberately. So I just wanted one more plug for magnesium.
Well, that's
okay,
true. Yeah, thank you, Senator Reed. I mean, not only that, I mean, everything that they do, if anybody's awake in the least, it's funny that probably the average American knows they're being poisoned. But
yeah,
we'll
they own
right.
all the pharmaceutical industry, so they don't want us to know about these minerals, especially magnesium.
Well, that's very much so. But what is disturbing, though, is that we know, and we'll walk into a Circle K and get a can of Monster or something like that, knowing full well that, you know, it's common knowledge, sugar feeds cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll walk in and pick up a can of sugar and feed a potential horrible, horrible disease. Anyway.
Habits are hard to break.
Yeah, I know. It's good.
Would it be appropriate if I provide my phone number if people are interested in more information?
That's absolutely. It's up to you. I'd love to have it.
Sure. Okay. For those that are interested, 402-310-7344. And if you want to contact me via email, I'll give it to you phonetically. November, Foxtrot, India, Bravo, Papa, Alpha, Tango. That's NFIB, Pat, at NEB for Nebraska, neb.rr.com.
Got it. Thank you very much. Be prepared to have your phone ring off the hook.
Yeah.
Let's invite Representative Hutchins into the conversation.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. You sound good.
Oh, good. Thank you. On this topic of natural medicine, I'd like to add to that my eyewitness account. I had the pleasure of becoming acquainted with a Dr. Vera Joanne Allison, who in the 1970s and 1980s treated cancer using the Laetrile treatment. And she was a student of Dr. Krebs, who discovered Laetrile he classified it as a B vitamin naturally occurring in various foods, in fruits, in the seeds. And we've been taught to throw away the seeds of the apple, and don't you dare pop open an apricot pit and eat it, because the deadly cyanide is going to kill you. But it's all not true. And there was a vitamin in those seeds, and Dr. Allison was conducting clinics. And I became familiar with her family, and I was told that she... because it was illegal in California, she was treating people in a lumber yard in Campbell, California. And I was told the location of that lumber yard. I used to drive by it all the time, and I used to think of that. And Dr. Allison has been raided and arrested and dragged through the court system because she was saving lives treating cancer using a treatment that was not profitable, could not be patented as a natural vitamin. And I became acquainted with her, and I'll just tell one patient I witnessed. Coming in, her she had one breast, and one of her arms was paralyzed and just hanging down like it was attached to her body as a piece of meat with no nervous activity in it. And she told me that the doctor said, "You're going to die. There's nothing we can do for you. All we can do is give you pain medications until you do die." And so she went to this clinic with Dr. Allison, and her family went with her, and her family was convinced that Dr. Allison was a quack, and I don't know what the relationship was there, but I saw the family members come in too. And I met this very same girl a week later, and her arm was back. She was happy, cheerful, jumping up and down, restored to health, and I could not tell she was sick from looking at her. And that's what the Laetrile treatment was doing at the time, and it can do now. It takes cancer, and you can take somebody who's told they're going to die by the medical establishment, and it can save their lives. And if they did not have surgery, you might not be able to tell they ever had cancer in the first place. And I've met people with surgery scars on them who otherwise had a very healthy-looking complexion, and they were strong, and previously they were told they were going to die. And what was happening was the Food and Drug Administration they were empowered by Congress, and otherwise they had no relationship with government whatsoever. They were controlled by the Rockefellers, enough said there. And so they're going around arresting naturopaths. And at the very last time they raided Dr. Allison, they raided her clinic, took away her laboratory away from her, seized all of her money. And she was not able to treat her own self. And she got cancer, and she died of cancer, believe it or not. And then, and this is up in Reno, Nevada, and then later in Reno, after she passed away, there was another doctor there, Dr. Brody, and I'm giving away his name only because he is now passed away, because this is a long time ago, and he passed away in 2005, I learned, and he was so secretive. I called him called his office one time on the telephone. And one, they want to know where I got his name, first of all. And until I could identify myself to their satisfaction, they would not confess that they were treating cancer at all in their doctor's office. It's completely suppressed. And this is the Food and Drug Administration that was dominating doctors, and they're dominating education for doctors. They're dominating the pharmaceuticals, and I can't figure out how they can justify themselves fitting into the Constitution in any place at all.
I heard the FDA is a total separate entity. Is that correct, Senator Hatwater? They're not even part of the U.S. government. I've heard.
Correct. Yeah. Nothing whatsoever is how they're connected to the U.S. That's right.
Well, that's how the Congress keeps clean hands, because they've just set up other agencies like the Food and Drug Administration, the Agriculture Department, the Health and all of that stuff, the IRS. They're all agencies, you know, and so where they may not have a law, and then in sheriffs, my goodness, sheriffs should be able to stop anybody that would come into. If a doctor lived in their community and read their stuff, if the sheriffs knew what they were doing or knew that they had, they absolutely do have the authority, they should be making arrests and throwing whoever it is that showed up in jail, not to be let out, but that's another story. That's how well they've done in reshaping what's supposed to be freedom and all of that. And how, my goodness, when there's, you know, story after story of life-saving things and or suppressed, and honestly, people are arrested and thrown in jail for it because of an agency called the Food and Drug Administration that has no authority to do it. We really have some cleanup to do in the de facto falls. Stuff like that, there would be a good job or a good thing for Congress to talk about, where an agency such as that reaching across state lines, there's a real good argument right there for if they ever walked into a doctor's office in the Republic and purported to want to shut them down, I think I'd be calling the Rangers if the sheriffs won't do their job. Anyway, exactly. Sorry, that's a little tangent there, but
Jim,
thank
this
you.
Is Janine. If you
yes,
don't mind,
ma'am.
I've been sent a link to or where you can order the book Proclivity, is that, if I'm saying that right, book. And so when this call is posted to the site, I will also post that link. I think it says it's $1.25 or something like that to order the book.
Nice. That's a good investment in your health. Dr. Hutchins, or Representative Hutchins, did you have anything else you wanted to discuss?
Yeah. I want to ask a question. Congress rather is empowered under Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, and it says to regulate commerce among the several states. Does medicine fit in there? And if it does not, then I think it would be passed down to the states. If we can't match it there with that statement in the Constitution, then I don't see where we get jurisdiction. So that's my question.
Commerce. That's a good one. Would a doctor saving somebody's life by a treatment for a cancer or whatever? I guess the answer in a de facto world is yes. Everything is commerce. Even it says all crime is commercial. So everything is commerce. So
it needs to be interstate commerce.
Yeah, well, interstate commerce. But, yeah, I mean, those are the things that you guys as representatives and senators got to figure out. And I think in my mind, some of that's going to be so, so easy because you have 100 years of usurpations to go, They did that for a while and it trampled on the people's freedom. Let's not do that one. Let's just reverse it. 180 degrees and you'll problem solved. You know?
Well, rest assured, the FDA will not be recognized, not in my committee, not on my watch.
May I interject here a moment?
Who's this?
This is Senator Hatwan.
Oh, yes, go ahead.
We have available to us inside the Alternative Healing Arts something called the Pastoral Medical Association, and it provides an ecclesiastical jurisdiction for pastoral science and medicine. And any practitioner that might be outside of allopathic medicine can apply if there's several levels of membership. And essentially what it does is if you do not venture into medicine, the de facto government has to walk away. And we have seen several cases, one recently in Texas where the feds came in and tried to shut him down, and he handed them the membership paper. They said, thank you. In 6 weeks, they said, continue business. Here's the website. It's PMAI, Papa Mike Alpha India .us.
PMAI .us.
Okay. I didn't even know that existed. That's awesome.
Yes. Every chiropractor should have a membership in PMI, PMA.
I'll spread the word.
Let's invite Dr. Rutledge. Dr. Rutledge, are you with us? Can you join the discussion?
I am not seeing him on the line just yet, but I thought I would unmute Governor Michael Bishop from Florida. He is a chiropractor, and I found him earlier. He may have some thoughts or something he'd like to add to the conversation as well.
I see him there.
You see him? Okay.
Is that michael.wrench3?
Nope, that's a different
one. That's the wrong one? Okay.
That's the wrong one. There he is. I found him. Hold on.
Michael?
Hey, welcome to the call, Michael.
Welcome.
Well, I concur with almost everything that was said there. I have three things I like to teach every patient, and it's to eat right, think right, and move right, and you'll get healthy. I'm sitting in a jacuzzi right now full of magnesium sulfate and sea salt. So I don't put the chemicals in me, and that's the main thing. Eat like God put it out here on this earth for you, organically as best as possible. And if it's man-made, it's usually pretty screwed up, so stay away from that. Moderate exercise and a good positive attitude. Get healthy.
Make sure your nervous system, make sure your head's on straight, huh?
Nervous
system's working properly.
Well, if we could get people to join the Republic, there goes their psychosis.
I got another interesting topic for you. Have you heard of genetically modified foods?
Yeah. Isn't that pretty much all of them?
Yeah. Well, I've been studying the genetically modified foods for the last couple of weeks. They've been introduced into my committee by William Hargraves. He's a congressman. And I have learned that these foods are being genetically modified so that they are resistant to herb spray. So previously, without these genetically modified alterations, you could not spray the Roundup weed spray on the plant. It will kill anything that's green if you get the Roundup on it. And so these organisms are being genetically modified in the DNA so that you can spray the Roundup right on the plant, and the plant will be resistant to the Roundup. And that means they do spray the Roundup on the plant, and that means when you buy the food in the produce market, there's Roundup in it. And on top of that, they also cause these foods to be resistant to insects, and they literally create this gene that generates insecticide that kills the insects right on the fruit. And that means that when we eat the fruit, this very same genetics is in our food and goes into our intestines. And what I'm reading just today is that they're able to transfer the DNA and the friendly bacteria that are in our small intestines do a handshake and trade the DNA, and then all of a sudden, for the rest of our lives, we have this this flora in our gut that's manufacturing insecticide on a continuous basis in our bodies. And then they also there's other modifications. They manufacture antigens to which we are allergic, and then they're manufacturing these allergens for the rest of our lives, and we don't know where they're coming from. And these foods, like I understand, corn is close to around 90% or more. Corn is genetically modified. And then you're not told that when you go buy corn, it's not presented for you. There's no disclosure statement at the produce department when you buy the corn. So this is a problem. I've asked William Hargraves in the audience to raise his hand. He just sent me an email. So when you do the question and answer, he told me he's going to try to raise his hand.
Okay.
And he's got quite a bit of knowledge on that, too. So.
All right. Okay, before we go to Q&A, I do have Dr. Rutledge on the line with us. He has come in on a participant code, so I have found him, and he is on the line. And then we'll go into Q&A after that.
Welcome, okay. Dr. Rutledge.
Hi.
What can you say to join in our discussion tonight?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on the call. I would say first that I pretty much agree with most everything that's been said on the call in various aspects. I definitely have strong opinions on nutrition and forms and types and plant-based and all of those things. And I guess my viewpoint, like from a Secretary of Health and Human Services standpoint, is to educate and to teach our folks how to take care of themselves completely, sovereignly, medically, so that they are empowered with the knowledge to do so. The Health and Human Services Department is over $800 billion annually now as de facto, which is pretty ridiculous. There's multiple departments under it that need a lot of change and actual elimination, in my opinion. And I see the Department of Health and Human Services actually being at some point whittled down to a completely web-based referral to great doctors within the Republic, as well as educational resources, so that someone could click on a link that says prostate disorders, and they get an allopathic way to treat it with Avodart and Proscar and whatever, and then you have a nutritional way to treat it, and or then you have an allopathic integrative approach to treat certain things. Not all medicines are bad. Antibiotics can be a wonderful thing if you need them. If you show up in the emergency room with a heart attack, you need morphine, TPA, and nitroglycerin. You don't need frankincense at that time. The biggest problem with the allopathic world is that they're fabulous in treatment, diagnostics, but they fall very, very, very short, in my opinion, in treatment, because they never really get to the root of the issue. They issue Band-Aids and say you're fixed, and that's further, very far from the truth. And I guess I would comment, too, I see quite a few athletes, and what's interesting is they look great, but there is, like one of the terms in the Bible, that a lot of times they can be a whited sepulcher. In the sense that, yes, I agree, they have tons of inflammation going on because their body, when you exercise causes inflammation. That's just a fact, because it's just breakdown and repair. We can go into all kinds of things about exercise and not, yes, I think it's wonderful. I think it's a great thing for the immune system. I think it's a great thing for stamina. Weight loss, I do not concur that exercise is used for that. Exercise makes you hungrier, makes you eat more, on and on and on. We can go into all kinds of things of the science of that. And one thing, too, that I think most of the medical community, especially as we know it right now, is missing is the healing component and or the spiritual component to our health. And it all goes hand in hand. When I see a patient, I teach them, every data that I draw on them, I make a copy and I give it to them. I don't even think about it. They have a complete copy of their everything that I do with them. So they have it. If they're traveling in India, they have that data. They don't have to be a rocket scientist or a biochemist to understand it, but they can see that, my TSH value went from here to here, and then they're involved in their own best self healthcare advocate, and then that goes as far as choosing doctors and types of supplements. And yes, there's many companies out there that are making excellent products. And that said, there's about five times as many that are making crap. And so you just have to decipher between that. And a lot of people on this call have the knowledge to be able to do that, just as simply as looking at active form vitamins and things. You know, if they're active, they're more bioavailable and ready for the body. And so my attitude is just for the just for the population is education, 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 so that they are able to take care of themselves with the knowledge, and so they're resolute in what they're doing and picking, you know, a doctor or a healthcare practitioner that suits them, that can help them and teach them really to be self-sufficient. I think that is the biggest problem in medicine today is we're given fish and we're not teaching how to fish. I could go into any subject in any kind of way, but pretty much that just kind of gives you an idea of what how I see and approach things. Now, from a executive branch standpoint, I do not have a punitive type attitude. I really do not like regulation at all. I do not like banning things at all. What I like doing, what I like to have happen is expose the light of truth to these practices and to these things and educate people so that they make the choice. And when that happens, the bad stuff just dies on the vine. We do not have to police folks and do these things. You just expose them, expose the practices. And then if that patient population still chooses to go to that practitioner, well, that's their choice, and they have to be informed. Much like the issue on GMO foods, and I'm sure we'll have a lot of discussions about it, but yes, GMO foods absolutely positively should be labeled. You should know beyond a shadow of a doubt in plain English what you are consuming. Period. That's just common sense. That is not rocket science. That said, if you start really diving into the science, and I've got a lot of data on it, when you start getting into GMO foods, scientifically speaking, when you replicate, if you can, when you replicate a bioidentical tissue or a bioidentical thing, it can be very, very safe. Now, where the issue gets mucky and the problems are is in control and in transparency of the science and technology. So, for instance, in my opinion, Monsanto should be wiped off the face of the earth in the sense that they've been doing pretty heinous things against the people. That said, however, if there was a company like Genentech or whatever or whomever, that there was complete integrity and morality in the science of producing things, you can feed a lot of people that just don't have the access to get the foods. So I am a big proponent of local agriculture. So if you can grow your own garden, I am a proponent. Everyone should do that, in my opinion, if you have the capability to be able to do so. However, with organic foods, and, you know, that's a term we could probably debate for 3 hours, you cannot feed the world organically until they know what to do with themselves so they can do their own local. So I really prefer the term local and knowing what the farmer's using and that sort of thing so you get great, healthy produce. And that's pretty much all I really have to say. I'm happy to answer any questions or any comments or whatever, but I just wanted to, I guess, give a kind of where the way I see things, I practiced emergency medicine for about 7 or 8 years, very solid, and the whole time, in the beginning, my whole approach is I always look for wellness. I was going to be a plastic surgeon. And because I grew up in the osteopathic / allopathic ranks, and I just was not a disease-oriented person. So and I didn't know much about alternative nutrition, preventive. You know, I did osteopathic medicine. We had 7 days of nutrition where, you know, our allopathic counterparts, I think, had 7 hours. But still, it wasn't enough. We should have had 7 months. So most of that training I did myself. Most do that anyway. And once they get their quote-unquote formal training, then they get the real knowledge, is which finding out the truth.
Well, thank you for that. When you went into what you were talking about, I agree with you at some point. The government's role at some point, how about just doing nothing, but instead of sending purporting that the FDA coming in and shutting somebody down, how about just shining a flashlight over to that particular woman that was talked about earlier and saying, oh, look, she's got some statistics here and she's saving lives and cancer, and shining that light on it, and that's it. And all the other regulatory crap would go away and become much, much smaller. You also made a point of, you know, the medical and some of the technologies of things they've done is way different than the naturopathic side of things and studying that science. And you're sitting here, your host tonight, for the sake of some of the amazing technologies, I wouldn't be walking today. I have 2 fake hips. And that happened early in life because, as I said earlier, I lived around a gym and I didn't realize it, but I'm not that big a fellow, but I was putting 600 pounds on my back once a week and 400 pounds on a light night, and I shouldn't have been doing that. And I did that for 15 years and broke my cartilage down in my hips, and I was walking like I was 85 years old, and I thought I was just getting old. And I tried to stretch more and I was exacerbating the inflammation and problem, and it was horrible. But the technology of what they did back in 1999, it was life-changing. I think of one of my best buddies called me. I didn't hear from him for a month, and he says, you almost lost me. I had a heart attack. And he eats very, very healthy because he had a history of heart problems in his family, so he was very conscious of it. And he knew something was wrong and told his wife, you got to get me to the hospital. And she started fixing his hair. And he said, no, 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 you don't understand, right now. And they got him there. And if it wasn't for that, I mean, they saved his life. And he sent me a picture. Now he's got about 8 grandchildren. And he went to the front of the hospital where the doctors worked. And there was a whole, when he woke up, there was people sweating around him because they'd been beating on his chest and all that stuff to revive him with these mechanical machines and drugs or whatever they did. But he's sitting on a fountain outside the hospital with all of his grandchildren around him playing, the little ones and so forth. And he gave a picture of that to the doctors. And he said, you know, this is what you did for me, this family. So while we got to educate the people too, we have to also recognize that some of those sciences and drugs or whatever that will save a loved one that have nothing to do with eating well in the long term, but save a life. I can tell you, I'm thankful to be walking like I am, and I'm really glad my buddy called me and told me you almost lost me, and sent me that picture of him around his 8 grandchildren. So there's a balance there in the medical world. I mean, to be able to shove a little tiny scope through your veins and scope it out and see what's going on inside of you is just incredible technologies we're glad to have around when a loved one's in trouble.
Yeah,
so,
Jim.
Yes, sir.
I would say, I agree with that 100%, but I would probably say that everyone, especially the docs that are on this call, would agree that those technologies and things are wonderful, and I encourage them. It is encouraged to explore nth degrees of those technologies. That said, if you stick with the basics, just like in, you know, what I say is people, you know, before the late 60s, and when McDonald's and all the fast food stuff came on the scene, people ate what I call the good old American diet, meat and veggies. Meat and veggies. And that's where it begins. It's called preventive medicine. If you put the nutrition into the bodies, and see, we have the technology now to measure everything within the cell. Cell levels of vitamin E, CoQ10, I use targeted amino acids. You can measure those in the plasma, in the urine, intracellularly, all sorts of things. But if you can use the technologies that help you at the cellular and biochemical level, you just about don't need a lot of the other technologies like the scope that goes in the vein. Now, you take the 60 or 70-year-old guy that's eating McDonald's for the last 4 years, he may need the scope that goes in the vein. However, if you are able to intervene soon enough, I love talking with 16 and 20-year-olds that have the consciousness that want to see the merit of prevention. That, to me, is amazing, is when you can reach people like that. And these kids are sharp. They know, and all they need is a little information, and boy, they just run with it. And so I guess my point is the technology is fabulous. I love it. But with that said, those good old basics can prevent the need of the use of a lot of those technologies.
Well, what that's going to get down to, though, is free enterprise. So rather than the government constraining those that are having success making people healthy, or not, taking the shackles and the stuff they do to chiropractors, and taking the shackles off of people that actually want to make people healthy with vitamins. You're right. So instead of needing, I don't know how many scopes they manufacture a year, but let's say it's 5,000. And because of supply and demand, because the young are getting wiser and all that stuff, maybe they're going to be put out of business a little bit and only need to produce 1,000 a year as we turn the ship around on health. So
that's exactly right. Absolutely.
Great that they're there, but supply and demand, because of education of guys like you. I'll tell you one thing that's encouraging to me, listening to people that are clearly in the health world that are on this call tonight, one in the executive branch and three in the Congress. And I don't know how many health professionals are in our legislature, but there is a right there. Imagine, if you will, rather than 99% lawyers in our government, if there was, health being a big deal. I'm going to throw out a big number. What if there was 25% health professionals, they're getting involved in the shaping of a nation or so forth. But anyway, free enterprise, absolute free enterprise is going to dictate. Yeah, there'll be scientists that invent a scope and invent the next great thing, but they just won't need as many of them if guys like you figure out this education thing and really get the American people, and let's put General Mills in some of the, I'm just thinking of the cereal aisle in the grocery store, knowing that probably the most healthy thing on the cereal aisle has been the same product for 100 years, and it's Quaker Oats, cream of wheat, and the rest of it is absolute garbage.
Yes, and the same principle applies to those companies like General Mills and Kellogg's and these big staple companies that have been with us for so long. There's no need to have a big stick and regulate them and tell them they must do this, they must do that, and blah, 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 blah. Do you know how much time, effort, energy, and money it takes to enforce crap like that? It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
you have to do is start educating the American people on what the great choices are in the grocery store. They start picking those, and then Kellogg's will say, oh, you know what? We need to up our game.
Right, exactly.
Just like that. Or they'll go out of business.
doctors and representatives, how about we move it to a Q&A and see if anybody wants to ask all you fellows some health-related questions.
Thank you. And I did find, I believe you said Senator Bill Hargraves in the Q&A or on the board, and I've unmuted him. Bill, if you wanted to take a few minutes before we go, and we are at our right at our 90 minutes, so we go to Q&A, I think we need to kind of keep it brief.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Janine. This is Bill Hargraves in Tennessee. I have been involved with GMOs for about 10 years very, very intimately, not just reading articles that appeared, but when I was working in Africa in the early 2000s, this is not the time to tell any stories, but I was very involved with the situation enough to see that the federal government was pushing extremely hard on behalf of Monsanto to get the 14 countries that I was working in South Sub-Saharan Africa to approve them. None of them did. Take-home lesson there is it doesn't take a PhD for someone to understand what's not good for them and for their bodies. And after that, I was in Iraq and saw what the U.S. government had done on behalf of Monsanto was to confiscate all the seed, all the farmers' seed that they could track down, and they were trying to push GMOs in, not waiting for a law, a regulation to either ban it or allow it under tight regulatory control. So now that I've been involved with the Republic the last 2 years, it's been an interest of mine to keep up with the public relations program on both sides, and it looks like there's a very strong turn. There are many organizations now that are raising their voices and getting very loud on the issue of people getting better educated. And I'm glad to hear Dr. Rutledge talk about labeling, because that's exactly what I recommended to our committee that Daniel is chairman of, is that we can't go around banning things, certainly, but we can provide enough information through labeling, I think, to give the consumers a much more educated choice, and in some cases the labeling is going to become more expensive than it's worth to a food processor to do it. Now, I was looking recently at a label, and there were about 9 ingredients, 4 of which were very obviously GMOs. Canola is 100% chance that canola is GMO. The current FDA regulation allows anybody who is putting something in as an ingredient, whether it's a GMO or whether it's been irradiated or whatever, that they do not have to label it. And I think the only way we're going to make progress is to deal with the labeling of the ingredients as well as the final product. That particular product had several other most likely GMOs in it besides the canola oil. And in the case of the corn, which Daniel mentioned earlier, Walmart is getting ready to sign contracts with GMO farmers of GMO corn, and they will not have to put signs over the bins that's selling the fresh corn out of if they choose not to, and they most likely will choose not to. So there's a big push to try to get the FDA to force them to do that, but it's just whistling in the dark because FDA has already, in their wisdom, said that they are not going to require labeling. Oh, and by the way, I want to correct something that was said earlier about the FDA being not a part of the government. That's not the case. FDA is and always has been a part of Health and Human Services. And it's very interesting that Monsanto is always the one that's mentioned as being the bad guy, but there's about four or five others too. DuPont is involved with the GMOs, Dow Chemical in Europe, Bayer and BASF, and there's I think one or two other smaller ones that all these guys are a part of what Monsanto is doing, but Monsanto seems to be singled out as being the bad guys. But I think we can get together in our committee rather quickly. All the science that I think is necessary to present to the Congress to get favorable action on something along the lines of what Dr. Rutledge has suggested. And I appreciate the opportunity to speak tonight and have Dr. Rutledge on the call because and also the Senate Health and Wellness Committee, I suppose, needs to come together with us on this too in order to get it right the first time, get it right quickly. Just in conclusion, there was a mention of Nutrilite, Amway's Nutrilite. My wife and I were invited to visit their farm in Southern California a few years ago, and I see no reason why they would have changed in recent years. They are an extremely well-managed and researched operation, and I'm sure there are others too, but I would certainly urge people to investigate on their own the natural products, most of which come from the U.S. Also, one absolutely final thing. Many of you may have heard last night or today that the word came from Ecuador that Jeff Smith has been declared cured of his melanoma, his stage 5 melanoma that he went down, I think, 5 weeks ago for treatment under Dr. Bob Dowling, who, as you know, was the doctor who cured President Turner of his leukemia a few years ago. Dr. Dowling subsequently had to escape to a foreign country because the AMA and the FDA were driving him out of business in North Carolina. He came up to visit us a few months ago and was delighted to find that there was an organization such as ours that could give him hope to return and practice medicine freely and openly as he would like to do. Jeff Smith is the 8th person I'm personally aware of being cured of their cancer by Dr. Dowling's treatment. I'm sure there are many, many Dr. Dowlings around who have either given up practice or have gone to foreign countries, and all of those people we want to make sure can come back and practice freely. So with that, I yield, Janine, unless there are any questions.
I think we will go into a Q&A mode. And, Bill, I will have to look for you to unmute you again because you are on the participant code. So bear with me on that. And
Janine?
So if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 6 on your phones and then press 1 to confirm that you'd like to be into the queue. And I'm going to go ahead and unmute the first caller. Someone has got a speakerphone going, so I'm getting some feedback. And then I'll go look for Bill Hargraves again. I have a feeling our first caller is a doctor because in the information it says chiropractic. Go ahead. You have the floor. 847 area code. You have the floor.
Well, hi. This is Morley Robbins. I'm a partner of Elizabeth Erkenswick, who is a chiropractor, and she is Daniel Reed's sister. I spent 32 years working as a hospital executive and have recently come over to the light about 3 years ago. I teamed up with Dr. Liz. We've just recently joined the Republic. We're very excited about all the developments, and Senator Reed and Senator Hatline have been very kind to let us participate in some of their committee calls. I do have a question that I'd like to pose to Dr. Rutledge. He made a very important point a few minutes ago about the amazing power that we now have to look inside the cell and look at different nutrient factors that are there. One of the best ways to measure an individual's health status is to look at the ionic form of their electrolytes, to look at magnesium, calcium, potassium, and sodium. There are 140 medical centers around the country that have equipment that allow that to be done, and it's considered the most powerful way to measure the health status of the individual. And what I'd like Dr. Rutledge to address is, why is it that 27 years after that equipment was invented, why is it that only 140 centers have that equipment and that there are 5,000 that don't? And why is there basically a moratorium by the allopathic industry to resist telling patients what their ionic status is? Because if they knew that, they could, in fact, take control of their health. And I think what I've learned in the last 3 years about the barriers that the allopathic industry has put up to allowing people to take control of their health is a point of almost embarrassment on my part. And so I'm very curious to know what Dr. Rutledge's perspective is on what is holding back this basic technology, the Nova Electrolyte Analyzer, is being prohibited from being used across the country. And what we're talking about is two drops of blood in a $72 test can tell someone whether they have good health status or not. And the corollary to that question would be for Dr. Rutledge to explain how he measures magnesium status in his patients who are dealing with particularly cardiac disease. I'd love to know his perspective on both of those. Thank you. I yield.
Dr. Rutledge, oh, I'm so sorry. I need to go find Dr. Rutledge again. He was on the other line, so bear with me just a moment. I apologize. There you are. Oops. I thought. Okay, Dr. Rutledge, I'm sorry. You're with us now.
Okay, all right. Well, I was saying I would address the first part of the question. Probably most everyone here would concur. The reason that those simple things have been, if you will, covered up or not expressed is it ties all the way back to really a ideology of finiteness versus infinite. And what I mean by that is that the power structure that has been in control now do not know infiniteness. And they do not know that the Spirit of God is infinite and is a healing source within itself. So they see very finitely. And so they feel like resources are limited and they must grab all they can to limit everyone else from health-giving technologies. The electrolyte status, that's a very simple test. There's many very simple tests that are still available and you can do, but people have just forgotten about it. They've gone on to, quote-unquote, newer technologies that are inferior. So part of our job, really, is to educate the population. So when they start knowing those things, they request it, and then it happens. So the answer to that part of the question is there is a power structure in place right now that has a finite ideology that they need certain amounts of resources and they want to restrict it from everyone else. It's a power thing and it's a misguided ideology. So with time and education of the people and the doctors and the medical system, all these things will come together. And, you know, all the medicine that I practice, I have complete privacy in medicine. But I must tell you, it's expensive, and it shouldn't be. What I do, I would love to be able to bring to every person on this planet in complete privacy if they wish. And right now, the way this structure is set up, you know, if I want, you know, when I have patients, I see, you know, certain different people, and I may have to use an alias or not. I do not provide Social Security numbers to laboratories. I do not provide information on my patients to insurance companies. I just do not do it because I have educated them as to how. I mean, I was dealing with a guy just the other day that. Just because he went and saw a neurologist, and the neurologist said, okay, you have memory loss. Okay, well, that was an exclusionary criteria to prevent him from the insurance company from renewing his $20 million life insurance policy. Well, that is just absolutely positively sick in my mind, because that just should not have happened. But see, that's what happens when you get into these diagnoses and medical sharing of information and all these things. It's just atrocious. The second part of your question is dealing with magnesium. I look at it in a few different ways. Actually, I like SpectraCell Laboratories down in Houston, so I can look at intracellular magnesium. Sometimes I will do a metals screen, actually, and I can look at magnesium status, as well as looking at zinc protoporphyrin. If you look at a zinc protoporphyrin, it's an indirect measure of magnesium status. So when I look at all those, as well as just what's in the plasma, I can get a pretty good idea, and I tend to agree that magnesium glycinate is an excellent form of magnesium. Well, actually, magnesium citrate is great, too, if you want to have more of the bowel stimulant effect. So all the different forms have a little bit different properties. Well, I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next caller is Representative Ruth King from Arkansas. Go ahead, you have the floor.
Yes, thank you for taking my call and my question. I've been looking for an answer for this question for several years, and I can't seem to find one. I've been diagnosed with high potassium. All the tests that the doctors has come out and taken, all the test results has come normal. There's no specific reason why my potassium should be up. And the only thing my doctor can tell me is to eat junk food instead of vegetables. And I was eating a very healthy diet. I was a diabetic, and I lost several pounds, over 100 pounds. And my diabetes went away, and then the high potassium came up. And I've been eating junk food. I can eat three or four meals a month, a regular meal. And my chest starts hurting, and I get weak. And so I try to limit myself very strictly from regular food. And I was wondering if there's anything that you might know that might be the problem or something that I might be able to do to straighten this out where I can eat healthy again. My doctor says that I've got a choice. I can eat potassium high foods and eat what other people eat healthy and die early, or I can eat junk food and possibly live longer. So do you all have any suggestions?
Wow.
I have a, I mean, this is Dr. Rutledge. Hi. You know, what you're presenting, I'm very happy to hear that you lost 100 pounds and, quote, unquote, you said your diabetes went away, because you're exactly right. You really never had any diabetes. That weight did. And by getting that out of the picture, that is a non-entity. It's a multidisciplined approach, and there's a few other people on the call, I'm sure, that can give you some specifics, but we would really have to know all kinds of things, of like what your gut absorption is like, what the kidney function is like, what the toxicity status is like, whether you have heavy metals. So there's many, 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 many things that you'd have to go into that, and most doctors, I say most allopathic, do not do any of that sort of thing. So that's a really there's a lot to it. I don't think someone can just say, okay, eat celery, and then you're going to be fine. It just takes a lot of diagnostics to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, my doctor had several tests done, but everything that he had, you know, everything that the results all come back normal. So,
Right. Well, what generally I start seeing with that, and I hear that a lot, you know, well, my doctor said everything was normal. Well, if they looked at one parameter and everything was normal, well, then that's a pretty limited scope of view. So most of the time, docs are just doing this general stuff. It has nothing to do with intracellular nutrient analysis or plasma amino acids or food allergies or heavy metal toxicity. Or. So there's a lot to it, and you just have to know if your physician is into that sort of thing or if he's just straight a traditional allopathic type physician. And if that's the case, you're probably not getting any deep diagnostics that would help you get to the root of the source.
I don't know. He's the only way. I mean, you might tell me that. He's internal medicine.
Well, you know, that pretty much tells me enough. Unless he's internal medicine that's branched off into the alternative healthcare arena and nutrition and that sort of thing, then let me ask you this question. Has he ever offered you a detox diet to do?
Well, he did, but it was too expensive at the time. I couldn't afford it.
Uh-huh. Well, like I said, you really just have to see what the knowledge is of the physician, in the sense that of how deep they can go into certain parameters to help you. Go ahead.
Is there a simple or a detox that might be that I need to use?
Well, yeah, I mean, yes and no. There's specific targeted detoxes for different organ groups. What you really need to know is what all he has done, what all he has done to look at these things. As simply as, if he's just internal medicine, I'm sure he has not used a microscopic analysis of blood flow, you know, and looking at nanoparticles and things of that nature, because that can be very beneficial. So my point is, it's just you have to find out what all kinds of diagnostics have done. I think it's best if I yield the floor now to others on the call, because they may be able to offer more.
I might add, and very good points, Dr. Rutledge. I think one thing that somebody in the osteopathic side might look at, maybe there's inflammation in the kidneys. It's called glomerulonephritis, and that's deep inside the filtering mechanisms of the kidneys. Low blood pressure could be a contributor, and if you've got kidney sludge, that could be cleaned out, and there's ways to take care of that. In addition, one thing that we had discussed earlier is an issue of magnesium deficiency. And if we're deficient in magnesium, we're not synthesizing cholesterol, which then transfers into our steroid hormones. And if we're lacking aldosterone, we could also have a high potassium level. So there's several things that need to be looked at in, regarding detoxification. I think sometimes if we look at inflammatory reduction first, and I don't know if your medical team has looked at inflammatory conditions, that's another issue that might be contributing to high potassium. And I'm sure there's other people that have other opinions too, but those are some things that we would look at.
Well, I'm going in for a physical Monday. So I'll take some of your suggestions to him and look at my testing to see what I have had done. And there may have been a couple that you have talked about that I haven't had yet.
Sure, sure. And if you're on any medication, for example, if you're on a diuretic, Lasix, for example, those would strip magnesium, or I'm sorry, potassium. So you need to take a look at what medications you might be onto as well.
I'm going to need to move. I really do need to move on to the next caller, but maybe she could contact one of you via email.
Sure.
To ask further questions. You know, the email addresses are pretty simple. We can all figure them out by first and last name. So first initial dot last name at republiccongress.org. And Dr. Rutledge.
Yeah, I'm the exception to that. It's dr.rutledge.
Right, dr.rutledge, R-U-T-L-E-D-G-E at republicoftheunitedstates.org. Yeah, I'm not really sure that we can get into a lot of diagnostic on this call, but I really appreciate your question.
Well, I really appreciate all the time and the effort that they're doing with their teaching and things. I'm really enjoying it. I yield the floor.
Thank you so much. Our next caller is from Arizona. Go ahead, caller. You have the floor. Gustafson, I believe, is the last name. Arizona.
Oh yes, I didn't catch that. Sorry. Can you hear me all right?
We can. Go ahead.
I think a lot of the problem that we're having with the de facto interfering with a lot of the medicine or medical professions, and whether it's medical or naturopathic, is that Commerce Clause. And unfortunately, when the founders put that in, they didn't really make it specific. Laws need to be specific. And with the Commerce Clause, I think that needs to be reworked by the Congress to the Republic Congress to make it what the founders intended it to be, and possibly even incorporate, I forget the doctor's name who tried to put in the right for medicine to be open and free and not regulated. Can't remember his name. But anyway, I think that is something that we need to clean up in the Constitution, and I yield on that. If there's anybody that wants to comment on it.
Well, this is Dr. Rutledge. The comment that I do have on it is I agree completely, and that you know, there's a lot to be done in that arena. It's simply as, let's say, licensure for doctors and chiropractors and blah 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 blah. All these things are privileges, and they say that you get to practice medicine. Well, you know, maybe you spent 30 years doing chiropractor, and you could teach them a thing or two, and it is generally the case. So I am not a proponent of shooting fish in a barrel in the sense of government saying you have to go do all these things, and we're going to give you a privilege to practice medicine. And if we don't like what you're doing, we're going to revoke it. Well, that's punitive. I don't agree with that. I agree with totally the opposite. And I'll give Mr. Hargrove something that he could leave with. Much like one of my dear patients from the past left a term of, if the glove don't fit, we must acquit. Well, as far as GMO is concerned, full disclosure is exposure. Okay? So that's what we need to start doing is doctors know how to practice medicine. If they're getting on the edge and doing things, we just expose them. We do not have to have punitive. We don't have to tax them through a licensing authority and all this kind of thing. It's just not necessary. What happens is you get regulation and government out of the way between patients and doctors, period.
Could I interject something on that? Yes, we need to come out with the truth about what some of these people are doing. But the de facto is very good at summoning up the media to put a spin on why naturopathics, for example, or chiropractic practitioners are bad. And so we have to watch out for that because the government can have an awful lot of influence in that respect, and we have to get out of that.
Sure, I don't think the government does not have a role whatsoever in saying who is good types of practitioners, physical therapists, chiropractors, people that do incense and Chinese medicine sort of thing. That is not the government's role. It's the people's role.
It is. Unfortunately, we've been conned into getting into those contracts, those adhesion contracts. And if we don't get into the adhesion contracts, they come after us anyway, and so we have to protect the people from that. So there's a lot of work to be done. But I think that Commerce Clause needs to be reworked and made in plain enough English that even the Congress knows what it is, because as Nancy Pelosi had once said, yeah, I know what Commerce Clause is. We can do anything we damn well feel like. So we have to be careful we don't get into that trap.
Well, thank you, Gus. Let's move on to the next caller, if we could.
Okay. So we have a cell phone from North Carolina. Go ahead, caller.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead. You have the floor.
Hi. This is Dr. Catherine Rose Plum. I'm out here in Mount Airy, North Carolina. And I'm just a little bit new to all the Republic, but I've been following We the People for several years with President Tim. And a couple weeks ago, I was on the call, and Robert Smith and David Mueller were on, and they were talking about agriculture and such, which is, in, of course, direct connection to what we're talking about with health and welfare of the people. And I was trying to direct some people to them, and I don't know if something's still wrong with all of
the email
sites or what's going on with them, but I wanted to let people know about an organization that I have come to know quite well down here in South Virginia in Patrick County, and it's design is by Mr. Hugh Courtney, and he has the Josephine Porter Institute for Applied Biodynamics. And he has been a student of Rudolf Steiner's work for many years, and Josephine Porter herself was from England and has created a lot of preparations to help heal the earth. And that's what Steiner had talked about. And Mr. Courtney has worked with creating some of the Pfeiffer products for helping heal the earth, making a field spray and a compost and biodynamic preparation combination. You know, they take all sorts of different herbal preparations and mix it with something and bury it in the ground for a while to make very concentrated preparations to use for field sprays and to help the earth heal, to grow more stronger food so that we have stronger animals, so that we have more pest-resistant crops. And these things have been around for many years, but Mr. Courtney is up in Woolwine, Virginia, and you can contact him through JPI biodynamics.org. And I think that you will find a lot of information that you're talking about if you would discuss it with him and read some of the information that I sent out via him. He did send information to Robert Smith and Gary Douglas, and he has gotten no response. And he was very curious as to know if anybody received any of that information or has looked it over.
Well, thank you, Dr. Catherine.
I am a chiropractor. And I have been working with people since I was a young person. And I started out in the medical field in nursing. And I guarantee you, I failed when I saw what they did to people in the hospitals. That's how I ended up being a chiropractor.
What was that website again? This is Dr. Reed.
What's your question, Dr. Reed?
Could you repeat that website, please? And possibly someone that wants your contact information, if you have a website or something.
Yeah, it's Hugh Courtney, C-O-U-R-T-N-E-Y. And his website is J-P-I, bio, B-I-O, dynamics, D-Y-N-A-M-I-C-S, .org.
And your name again?
And... excuse me?
Your name again?
I'm Dr. Catherine Rose Plum.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Catherine. Appreciate your comment.
And I can give you a phone number as well.
Okay, go ahead.
And it's 276-930-2463.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you for coming
on
the call.
You're welcome. And, please do contact Mr. Courtney if y'all have questions about all sorts of things, because he can give you a lot of insight. He talks to people across the country, and he has just come back from conferences in Canada and down in Colorado, and he's made, they were talking about the Nutria being down in Louisiana, and he has made preparations from where the men down there sent him hides from the Nutria, the giant water rats. And they took and made preparations out of the hides and took them down there to see if they couldn't repel or eliminate a lot of them, because they're taking over the city down there. So, wow. Very interesting man to talk to. A lot of connections with a lot of people across the country about healing the earth and the exact same things y'all are talking about that everybody's been trying to kill.
Sounds like it'd be a great asset to the Republic.
I think so. Yes, sir. I have connected him with our sites and whatnot. He's very anxious to talk to people because everybody sweeps him under the carpet when he talks about doing things naturally.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Catherine. I think our representatives and senators got your info now, and that'll be great to get some. It sounds like they're very open to anybody that's interested in in cleaning this mess up. So thank you for your input.
Yes, sir. And I have one more question. Robert was talking about his father, Jeff, going down to Ecuador. And I have a couple of people that have cancer and are extremely interested in Dr. Boeing. What is his name?
Dowling.
Yeah. And his Dowling. I'm sorry. I mixed Bob and Dowling together. In his information, and I really would love to turn them on because they are really having a terrible time. They've been through all the chemo and radiation, and they're very, very bad off. So if somebody could, you know, let me know how to get a hold of them to find out what connections I can make for these people.
Dr. Catherine, the number that I have on my board that you're calling from, is that a number where you can be reached?
Yes.
Okay, I will give that your information to Robert Smith, and he can get that information to you.
And you can give it. You can give it out. I mean, I can give it out now. I'm not.
Oh, that would be fine. I'm not sure if he's on the call this evening.
Okay.
So, I mean, you're more than welcome to give your number if you like.
Yeah, if anybody needs to talk to me about what I was talking about with the Josephine Porter Institute, or needs a better connection than what I just gave you, it's my phone is 336-257-9551.
Did you say that right? Because I'm seeing something different on the board.
336-257-9515.
There you go.
Okay. Too many numbers in my head.
Well, thank you. I'm going to go to, we have two callers left in the queue, Jim. The next one is from Vermont.
Hello, Representative Edward Goth here from Vermont. I'm calling because I'd like to find out, I've been fighting this battle for a while in my body, and never used to, I used to be a real, real tailhead, and I've been many years without it now, about 7 years, and I quit all this myself cold turkey. Well, now, ever since then, I've found that I've created an anxiety because of this. I used to weigh 400 pounds. I now weigh like 213 to 14, something like that, which I came a long way. I don't do any more like heavy drinking. Once in a while, I have a drink with a friend of mine, you know, like whiskey or something like that. But as far as my health-wise goes, at times I feel like pains in my chest and, you know, and it's just, I've been trying to put my thumb on it for the longest time. If anybody can help me about anxiety, I would appreciate it. My doctor's given me a bunch of pills. One is for high cholesterol, and every time I take it along with one of the pills, it seems like it really affects me. It makes me feel like really crappy, you know, and like something's going to be feared, like with my anxiety. And the other medicine I take is for too much, you know, weight. Okay, it helps me keep down my weight. It's a pill, big one. I also take a in case I have a like a attack or something like an anxiety attack, there's another little tiny pill. So I've been trying to find out if anybody can help me out, you know, get some natural foods or something like that, or to help me with my dietary, you know, plan here, because I love my meat, but the thing is I'm trying to cut off it, and I do, you know, cook in oil. So now I get that information tonight, I will be cutting off oil. So if anything else, I would be gladly appreciated if someone could help me how to handle this anxiety, mostly without pills. I hate pills. You're the floor.
This is Dr. Rutledge, and I would probably speak for most everyone that's on the call, too. Be more than happy to help you if you email us. This is, you know, like the lady earlier before, it's so much to it. You know, so many questions, you have, this cannot be solved on a call like this. So you're welcome to email me. I'll help you any way I can. I feel like everyone else on the call would do so as well. But there's so many things, so many questions that have to be answered of what you've done, what you haven't done, what's been tested, what hasn't been tested, on and on and on to get to the bottom of that.
Yeah. Can I just give you my email real quickly, man? You can email me. And because I got
it's better if you email me.
I just don't have a computer right now.
Well, someone will get that to you. It's a lot to go into on that, but there's a healing mechanism. You have to reach out to me or us. We can't go reaching out to everyone as healing and practitioners. So you'll do that. I think Janine can give you our email address and whatever. You reach out to us, we will help you in any way we can.
Okay. Janine, could you please email me with the email address? I got no internet right now. I have to do it at the library.
I will call you later with an email address you can write it down.
Okay, dear. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I just got no access right now to anything, so I'll have to write it down, but I will get it from you later on. Just grab me before we go off.
Absolutely, and, you know, we are willing to help you in any way we can.
I appreciate
it. Thank
you so
much. Okay, our next caller is 605 area code. It says Alexander.
Yes, are you there?
We are.
Yeah, this State Senator Roger Alexander from Rapid City, South Dakota. First of all, I'd like to say thank you to everybody on the call tonight, all you doctors. God bless you. You're doing a fantastic job. Appreciate the call, everything you guys said. It was just absolutely wonderful to hear from you. But my question is chemtrails. What can we take right now that would counteract some of that stuff that we're breathing? I yield.
Surface-to-air missiles.
That's pretty strong medicine.
that was an inside-my-head thought. It just slipped out. Dr. Rutledge, maybe you can...
take some magnesium.
Well, you know, that is a multidisciplinary approach, too. I must admit, I don't know everything that I need to know about that. However, what I do know is that, having most of your – this is what I would like to get to with the Department of Health and Human Services, teaching people how to ask for what tests they need. Doctors would have that as a resource. So my answer to that is having most of your levels and everything from a nutrition and detox standpoint being at their tip-top shape, then you're at a decreased risk for everything from cancer to a virus or a prion or bacteria or chemicals in a chemtrail, chemicals in a pesticide, whatever it takes. So that is stuff that will be coming on more and more on board as we teach and educate people really how to take care of themselves. So it's not a simple answer as of like, okay, yes, take iodine. Well, yes, iodine is wonderful, but that's not the full spectrum. Well, if you're deficient in some amino acids, if you're deficient in magnesium, if you're deficient, all different types of things that can put you at increased risk for any type of sequela. So I don't know of any per se, let's say, this remedy other than a multi-nutritional approach that has preform amino acids and vitamin E and C, all these different things that bolster and boost your immune system. Maybe someone else on the call may be able to recommend, but I don't know of that. I yield the floor.
This is Senator Hatwan, and I would echo the sentiments of Dr. Rutledge that being in prime physical, spiritual, emotional condition is the best prevention, and generally then we don't have much to worry about. However, I am very concerned. I don't purchase in 100% to the discussion about everything we see in the sky being a chemtrail. but I do understand that chemtrails exist. And what I would do, and this is what I do for myself, so take this for what it's worth, this is what I do for me. I ensure that I get diatomaceous earth food grade every day in water. And diatomaceous earth, for some people, they understand it to be called a product labeled zeolite. Diatomaceous earth in food grade format is very, very powerful at removing heavy metals, radioactive contamination, and parasites.
Where do you buy that at?
If you would just, there's a location in Norfolk, Nebraska. When you go onto the internet, if you'll just Google DE, edible DE, and then look for the link that takes you to Norfolk, Nebraska, because that'll be the closest. And I think a 50-pound bag of that stuff would cost somewhere in the neighborhood of $25 or $30. Essentially, what happens with diatomaceous earth is the people that manufacture zeolites or sell zeolites, they'll take that same product and put just maybe an ounce of that diatomaceous earth in a liquid format and call it zeolite. But if you take the raw product and put a tablespoon or a teaspoon a day in one glass of good water, you'll get okay. a very powerful therapeutic response.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I'm 56. I've been a vegetarian for about 20 years, and I feel pretty good, but I know we're being poisoned, you know, by a lot of stuff. But, and thank you all again for being on this call. This is fantastic, and God bless you.
Thank you. Our next caller is Lieutenant Governor Jim Carpenter from Colorado. Go ahead, Jim. You have the floor.
Good evening. Good evening, Jim Fitzgerald. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How have you been?
Hey, you planted good seed here in Colorado, and Western Colorado's really taken off. Thank you. I for everybody over here.
You bet.
I'm in a unique situation. 32 years ago, my mother introduced me to a man that had gone through a one-time government-sponsored class under the Carter administration, and he and 100 other people were taught both naturopathic and AMA-type medicine. And the knowledge that this man has tried to impart to me has been tremendous, and I've definitely been blessed. At one time, to kind of make a long story short, I was blind for 2.5 years in my right eye, and I mean totally blind. And this man happened to introduce me to a new product, and it led me on to where we're going with the story, and that is phytochemicals. And because of the phytochemicals that I was able to ingest, my body needed those in order to repair the nerve damage. And in less than 40 days, I had received eyesight back, 20/30 vision. And that's after being blind for 2.5 years. That led me on to other information. And the bottom line is that it all begins in our food chain. The last 2 weeks of vine ripening, a substance called phytochemicals comes into our fruits and vegetables. And our body needs those phytochemicals along with the enzymes and the other nutrients in order to have proper digestion for our body to assimilate that into a cellular level. And these gentlemen in the conversation tonight has been very stimulating, and everybody has got it. But we also need to recognize the link between what we put in our body and what becomes. It goes back to planting the seed, reaping the harvest. And it's, when it comes to this GMO stuff and canola and all the misrepresentations and the stuff that the facto's been putting on us, if we don't stand up for ourselves and regulate it out and make sure it doesn't exist, or we have the opportunity to make a good choice and know what we're putting in our bodies, that's a must. It's not a question. And we've also got to go back to being able to produce locally grown fruits and vegetables. And granted, they may not be mangoes from, you know, some tropical island in the middle of Colorado in the middle of the winter, but that's life, okay? at least the fruits and vegetables you're going to be getting are going to be good, they're going to be healthy for you, and they're going to sustain life. And so we have to, in order to accomplish the goal that we're talking about, I wanted to share that, because that is fundamental for everything else that's built upon top of it. Thank you for allowing me to speak.
Well, thank you very much. Our next caller is David Mueller. Go ahead, David. You have the floor.
Yes, thank you very much. I really enjoyed all the discussion and information this evening. I'm Congressman from Missouri, and I'm working with Gary Douglas on the Commerce Committee. For the lady who spoke earlier, wondering what is going on. We were planning on getting together last Friday, and agriculture had some other pressing business they had to finish, and so it got postponed. But Gary Douglas, the head of the Commerce Committee, myself, along with Daryl Kells, I believe is his name, of the head of the Agriculture Committee, and we're going to be meeting along with some of his personnel on his committee to try and decide how we can make commerce and agriculture spur growth in our nation. And we believe that the farmers markets in all the little towns across the USA, with greenhouses, with small family farms, with farms that can be made with sweat equity by people who coming out of college in agriculture, people who need a job, who like farming, whatever. We want to try and get farming to be our number one aim for creating commerce, because wherever any nation has put their agriculture, their commerce grows around it. So if you bring farmers markets to all our little towns, we believe that people will come with other businesses to the little towns to sell when everybody comes to the farmers market. So from that, I was watching a documentary, I guess you would say, on Channel 9 about farming in America, Channel 9 here in Missouri, last night, one of the public stations. And it's amazing what the farmers do in our nation, the food that they make. When I think of trying to just have greenhouses, it's just no way you could feed the multitudes of food that people need in greenhouses. But of course you can feed 20 people, or, you know, some of them with the tilapia environments actually produce 3 million pounds of food in a year on 3 acres. And they do, most of that is the fish, and then they use the greens and the compost and the environment of the gentleman, Mr. Courtney, that was brought up. I'm very interested in contacting him and seeing what we can glean from that and put into our efforts, because it is it's very serious that we have a food supply. I would like to see us do as Joseph did in Egypt and let everybody produce food for themselves, and also to the general good of us being able to have 7 years of storage, and let them make their money for supplying food to America. To the rest of the world, make sure that we have our bread basket of the Midwest that creates the food for the world up and running, and putting out real food instead of these GMOs and that they've just destroyed. You see all these beautiful cornfields, and then you realize that what they're putting out is not even good for our bodies. It's just sickening. So. Again, that's just my update. We will be getting together soon. I do not know the date yet, but it is of a premier importance to us to make this work. With that, I yield. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next caller is Drew Rayner from Mississippi. Go ahead, Drew. You have the floor.
Well, good evening, folks. I want to tell you that, in my opinion, this is probably about the best program that has been on this roundtable call, and I congratulate all these doctors who are involved in the Republic and what it's doing. Education is primary thing that needs to be done to the people who are here in the Republic. And my wife has suffered from asthma all of her life, and now she has rheumatoid arthritis, and we've been trying to find some things. So I will be getting in contact with some of the doctors to see if we can find some things. I know that I've got a sister that's got sister-in-law that's got pancreatic cancer, and so I'm definitely interested in the things these people have mentioned tonight. And I congratulate you and thank you for the work and the effort that you're doing. So with that, I won't ask a question and tie things up. I yield the floor. Thank you.
Thank you, Drew.
Thank you, Drew. Our next caller is, and I did not get the name from before, but I believe you're from Tennessee. It says chiropractic, 847 area code.
Oh, hi. It's Morley Robbins again. At the risk of overstaying my welcome, I just want to make a couple observations. Biodynamic gardening is based on minerals. It's putting rock dust back into the soil, which is putting minerals back in the soil. It's a very key part of our nutrition. I just want to also make an observation that a couple callers have called in about particular conditions that they've got, and the response has been, well, that's really complicated. Well, I used to think that too. And then I read 18 books on magnesium and 300 scientific articles on magnesium, and it's really quite simple. When someone has anxiety, when someone has asthma, when someone has high cholesterol, when someone has heart disease, when someone has diabetes, when someone has obesity, and I could go on and on ad nauseum, at the very head of the stream is magnesium deficiency. And it's a dirty little secret that allopathic medicine does not want the public to know. But the very fact is, if people knew their magnesium status, if they knew through hair analysis, if they knew through true intracellular blood testing, not what SpectraCell does, which is all relative to a norm, but they don't tell you the absolute levels. But if people knew what their absolute levels were through hair analysis, through urinalysis, or through blood analysis, they would have a very enlightened view about how they could manage their health and managing their mineral intake, and they can do that through their diet and through proper supplementation. And we do not need to continue the cloak of mystery about, oh, it's complicated, when in fact it's not. All of the conditions that people have called in about, for the most part, are classic signs of magnesium deficiency. It's been building for 100 years. It's coming to a head. I did a forecast in 2008 about where chronic disease was going in America, and I was so alarmed by it. That's what drove me to leave the allopathic field and to enter the field of alternative healing. And I'm graced by the fact that I'm able to work with one of the greatest healers on the planet. I also have the pleasure of working with Daniel now in the work that he does. And it is just, we've got to pull back the curtain. This is not mystery. When you take minerals out of the human body, it begins to break down. Enzymes don't work. DNA does not work. All sorts of cancers result. This is, we've got to really put the, I think the observation that was made earlier was, we need to shine the light, and so that the bad things will go away. Well, all we need to do is show people how foundational minerals are, and at the head of the stream is magnesium. And when people realize that every chronic disease that they're afflicted with is caused by magnesium deficiency, and when they find out that all the brand-name drugs that they're taking are magnesium workaround drugs because they can't patent those drugs, they're going to feel very differently. And then when they find out that those same brand name drugs have fluoride as the active ingredient in those drugs, which causes greater magnesium loss, then I think they're really going to wake up. And I think it's high time that we recognize that there's a dark side to allopathic medicine. I didn't want to believe it. I worked in the field for 32 years, and we need to pull back the curtain and let people know what's really going on with medicine today, and that there are some very powerful and safe alternatives out there that are very easily accessed. And if people are interested in more information about magnesium, they can go to my website, www.magnesiumman.com, and I would ask people to look at my mission statement and look where I'm coming from. My goal is to reach 12 million people with this message and let that be the consciousness shift in this country to know that at the end of the day, all of this disease, all of this chronic conditions that people are afflicted with are really resulting from mismanagement by medicine and a gross distortion of our food system, but the very basis of it is the fact that magnesium and some of the other key minerals have been taken methodically out of our diet, and we need to know that, and we need to take corrective action immediately. I yield the floor.
Thank you so much. Our final caller in the queue this evening is Bill from Oklahoma. Go ahead, Bill. You have the floor.
Hello. Yeah. Was curious about this diametaseous earth and first on how to spell it, but I took a guess and pulled it up in my search engine and just looking at it, it sounds like a cure-all, you know, for so many things. And I guess, does it add minerals to your garden?
Senator Hatwan, did you want to answer that?
Well, that's always an issue, but if you don't know what minerals you're deficient in your soil, it makes it a little difficult to understand. I'm going to go back a little bit to where Dr. Rutledge is. If the ground is good, the produce will be good. If the body's good, the body, by being fully repleted with nutritional support, and Morley indicated magnesium is a critical mineral. If the ground is good, the vegetables will be good. You always need to test the ground to see what conditions are there. You could have acidic ground. You could have alkaline ground. And certain produce grows in alkalinity. Other produce grows with a little more calcified soil condition. Now, if you're deficient in nutrition, for example, nitrogen or phosphorus in the ground, you might not get good production in your vegetables or your produce. So it always goes back to you should have an agronomist look at your ground for you.
So like a county extension agent or
sure.
Okay.
You bet. Very good. Okay. If you've got a ag college in your nearby neighborhood, you could use one of those. A class might want to come out and do a field trip and do some work on the ground, and you could be a laboratory experiment for them.
Okay. Okay. I know I've bought the zeolite before for cleansing of heavy metals and that, and to find out that it's this diametaseous earth.
Yes.
Is what they make zeolite out of.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. Okay.
Yep. And in fact, diametaseous earth can be used as an insect repellent in the garden as well.
I see that. It says for garden pests, mites, fleas, bed bugs, slugs, ticks, snails. Wow. Sounds great. Okay.
Yes,
well, thank you.
Yep. You bet.
All right.
Well, thank you. And for those that were asking for Dr. Dowling's information in Ecuador, you can find him at, let me get you the website, Breast Cancer Cured, C-U-R-E-D, breastcancercured.com, and that will take you to Dr. Dowling's site in Ecuador. Jim, we have no other callers in the queue. If any of our guests would like to make any final comments, that'd be great. If not, we can close this call in prayer.
Any last-minute comments, guests? I think it was a very good call, and I think I find it personally very exciting to hear so many health conscious people taking an active role in the shaping of our nation. So that's a huge blessing. Guest, chime in.
One last comment I might make is, you know, we see a tremendous amount of cloaking of the allopathic community by government. Huge budget, huge protective agencies. I think even church is implicated in this to support the cloaking of allopathic medicine. And I would submit that if we offered the same cloaking, and God forbid that we should, but if we did, if we gave naturopathy, homeopathy, the eclectic practices, chiropractic medicine, if we gave them and afforded them the same protection that allopathic medicine has, I would guess that within a year, maybe two, allopathic medicine would virtually disappear. Now, that's not to talk about trauma care. I'm talking about health care. But let's say, for example, we remove all of the cloaking and protection that allopathic medicine enjoys from government and regulation, church, and social structure. I would venture to say that allopathic medicine would die within 6 months.
Thank you for that. It makes me think, you know, the earlier discussions about the Commerce Clause and so forth, something for that I've been thinking about a lot is the Fourth Amendment, that we all have a right to be secure in our persons, papers, property, and effects. Well, our effects is our right to contract with somebody. So if the government, I mean, as I think in the Commerce Clause at the time, at that time, the bigger states were taxing the wagons full of goods more than, you know, than the smaller states, and they couldn't do anything about it and that sort of thing. It was just goods and wagons crossing state lines, and that was what it was about. And then that got expanded into something else. So if even now, if the government or the legislature, when they considered a commerce thing, whatever it is, healthcare or whatever, and they said, wait a minute, we can't do that because that will be interfering with some man's effect, his right to be secure and his effect or his right to contract. So we can't do that one. So a lot of these commerce things would go away if we, you know, at many, many turns look right to the Fourth Amendment and so forth. That's my closing thought for this evening. Hearing no others, if there's anybody else that would like to make a closing comment, or we'll go right into asking for a closing prayer.
This is Dr. Reed. I would just like to thank everybody for their conviction and their participation and enthusiasm. It was really, really fantastic call that this evolved into, and I just thank everyone.
Thank you.
Senator Reed, would you like to close the call in prayer?
I would love to. Thank you, Janine. Thank you, thank you, Lord, for everyone on this call. Thank you for your Holy Spirit and how your Holy Spirit has moved through all of us on this call as it evolved. We just praise your holy name. We just thank you for this republic as a vehicle to do your will, which is to bring our brothers and sisters back to good health and back to prosperity and back to healthy air and land and water and food. And we just thank you that you have chosen us to do this, and we just praise your holy name. And we just can't thank you enough. Thank you for choosing us to do your will. Just pray this to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful evening.
Amen. Thank you. And Jim, thank you for stepping in and helping Robert. It was a pleasure to have you this week.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be here.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you very much.
By now, God, you would have. have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. As the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. Almost gone. How can I carry on if I can't find you? But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away.